Just looking back very briefly to Dleoch and to Kailura, and then of course to your visit to the UK. So lovely to know that you're bringing those sort of onomatopoeic words back into the vocabulary. Is that quite deliberate?
Well, Dleoch is such an important word because it translates as call, but more I think because of the structure of it, Dleoch, it's a call out, in which in a sense it's both pre-verbal. Yes, it may include words later, but it is something that echoes back across time and also goes forward. And in that sense, the idea of making the president's call goes back to a time when it would be part of the celebration, or also part of the recalling of a great event, that you'd call on someone to do the echoing of the sound. So, but sound is older than words. And equally, it's very important to know that even if we lost a very great deal of the Irish literature, which we must try to recover in fragments, the music sounded, the sounds of music and song survived the famine, because many of the people who, the million who left after the million who died in the post-famine period, came together in the cities in the United States, and that's why we have such a rich heritage. And the first event of Dleoch here in the Áras was at my request, my suggestion, that it was a very appropriate thing to do. And then when I'm in the state visit, the word Kailura is in fact a celebration after something that has happened. Ocoit Kiluroch is a celebratory occasion. So in the sense we'd had the visit of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth to Ireland in 2011, you had the return of the head of state master to London and to different other venues. So in a way, we had arrived at a particular point to which you could say a celebration was appropriate. So what we had then was a celebratory occasion, or Ocoit Kiluroch, and therefore what then would you call the gathering in the Albert Hall? Well, I simply called it Kailura. And you'll find, you are right, the younger Irish people really love to have access to words that they can use to describe their own experience. If people have one, and all Ireland, if people have won a local competition, they would say, "Tommy the Kailura, we're celebrating." And maybe in a way we need to discover the capacity in ourselves for generosity and celebration, and vehe Kailura, as we might say, be celebrating too, because it is important.
And you really know how to celebrate. All those young people that were surrounding you, like the Imelda Mays and the Len Hansards, you're just right at home celebrating.
Well, I think Sabina is very, very important in all of this, because we'll be married 40 years in July, and all those years, Sabina from the world of acting, most of the people we would know were small theatre companies, actors, writers, musicians and others, who were generously supporting causes, and but also offering their talents at a time when there wasn't really very much rewards going on of any financial side. In the case of poets, it's probably worse, because I remember musicians and poets who writing to me because, as they would say, the electric was being cut off. So all our lives have been very much quite close to that particular community. So then, 20 years ago, when I became the First Minister for Arts, Culture and the Gaelic, someone said, "Will you look at them?" They had a kind of a period of time in the sun. And I'm glad that it has all been sustained by my successes in that area. But then when you come to, for example, a very, very important event like the state visit to the United Kingdom, it was very, very important that this community, wherever they may be, they're of necessity, they're migratory. There's some of them here, there's some of them in London, some of them in America. You take Martin Hayes, who's going all around the world, that they would be part of. This is the kind of Irishness that we're anxious to celebrate. And the same is true of the film industry and of theatre. And I think that's great. I think it adds to Ireland's reputation, and it gives us such... It's a great source of spirituality at home.
And another aspect too is cuisine, because a little birdie told me that the lovely young Andy McFadden, who is our one Michelin star, the youngest Michelin star holder. I believe you dined the other day in London and that he cooked for you.
That was then the after I had made the tribute to Peter O'Toole, and what a lovely, wonderful genius he is. You see, there is a very important word that we should use. We should use it not only about cooking, we should use it about the economy, and that is the word craft. And it is of making things beautiful because of what you have put of the standard of excellence that you have put into it. And he is very, very exciting. When I go up to Cavan, either if I'm canvassing, I called in to see as I passed through. But isn't this something wonderful to say that we not only have such fantastic environmental advantages if we look after it, and that we're able to produce such good food, but we're able now to both cook it and present it and talk about it and enjoy it. And also, as well, abroad in Africa, it's one of the things in relation to giving assistance in nutrition. And it isn't only about sending volumes of food, it's about being able to understand it. I hope that we'll be able to bring all these things together. For example, there are many who are qualified in agriculture and in nutrition and side of things who will could have a valuable contribution to make as we move on from saving lives through starvation to adequate nutrition and so forth. But Irish food is something to celebrate now. And if it is, it is because of the work that is put in by the young man like you mentioned. And what's more as well, he has a charming personality.
He does.
And I think he's going to be... Well, he is already great.
He's wonderful. And he contributed to Paul Martin's garden, the award-winning garden that Paul had at Hampton Court last year too. Yeah. So there's that lovely combination anymore of all these wonderful crafts that you mentioned, and they're all amalgamating. And one of your great words of wisdom is that idea of solidarity as an ideology and as something that we can all aspire to.
Yes, I think as well, though, as we have been talking, the one thing that strikes you is that it is all about very much things that you can touch that are real. About seeds that are planted in one season that will be harvested in another. And you just have to think about the contrast between that and anything fictional in an economic sense, what I call, as in my other speeches in America, fictive capital, the idea that you have just short of 4 trillion circulating the world, looking to come to earth as some kind of poison rain through bubbles. The difference between that kind of unaccountable financial economics and all of what we've been describing, people who sow and care and reap and do productive things. But what's the good news is that in the last 2.5 years, as I go around the country, people are valuing that again. I think what I would love to think myself, and why I'm so delighted that you mentioned about the people having their city gardens, we should have urban farms, I think, and it's very important that every young child has an opportunity to see how things come to be and renew themselves, how they emerge and die in the world and are grown again and new spring happens. That's very, very important. I often said, you know, when I look back across my life, that if every child had an ability to read, an ability to swim, and access to a musical instrument, and access to the living things that grow, both in terms of animals that you care for and plants that you sow, you are equipped then in a way that enables you to deal with the vicissitudes of life wherever you may be. But and you are right, the more all of this is brought together, the better. But we have to be realistic and say that we have great challenges to meet yet to make sure that every child is able to do what I've just described. While we go to bloom, I'd also at the back of my mind, are still children going to school hungry? This needn't be. And we need to turn all of this into a universal experience that every citizen experiences in solidarity with each other. And at the same time, then, we're able to hand something on. And I think all these things we've been describing about, be it in music or culture or arts, in gardening, in relation to all of this, is marvellous, is wonderful. And but the word isn't used idly, the word marvellous. Heaney would like that, he said. That's in another of his poems where he mentions, I think, the one about the man who was descending from the sky and who was released back up again because he found our position, he found his new condition marvellous.
And it's very apt that we're in the Phoenix Park because we like the idea of the phoenix coming back time and time again. So let's hope for really great renewal, planting of many more seeds, and that the next couple of years, as Uachtaráin on the Héireann, that you'll continue to...
Yes, I think so as well, and more than where we are here now, in this building and in the park generally and in the different parts of the Uachtaráin's acres. The OPW, in all of their different manifestations, they work tirelessly all of the time, and I very much want to pay tribute to their work, not just here in the Oras, but in the park, but not only just in the park, through all the national parks and public spaces in Ireland. So it's been a pleasure talking to you.
An absolute pleasure, Uachtaráin, agus go raibh míle maith agat.
Fáilte leo, is go n-éirí le buinteanna fós an lá.
Buinne míle cinnte.